This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and our very own Maggie Curry. Welcome, Maggie.
Welcome, thank you.
Hello. Lovely to have you here, Maggie. Now, you're a lady of very many talents.
So you tell me, yes.
Well, though regular listeners will be used to Maggie's dulcet tones on the airwaves, often talking to hubby Kelvin Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the clue there in the name. But what I'd like to talk to you about is the other work that you do.
Okay.
And you're very people focused, aren't you? So you're a transformation coach and consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also recently set up a very important initiative here on the island, which is aimed at domestic violence sufferers.
Yes, both men and women.
Yeah. And that's the Mind the Gap, and that's a free course.
It is free, yes.
Yeah. So we'll be talking more about that later. But I'd like to talk, first of all, about this transformation. Is that like life coaching?
It is life coaching, yes, but it's transforming people's lives.
And how does that work?
How does it work?
In terms of how is it different to, say, something like CBT therapy or something else that might build someone's confidence? Is yours more goal-orientated?
There are goals involved, yes, but they don't have to be. People don't necessarily have goals. They just want to improve their lives. Excuse me. I had a young man came to me some years ago, and he'd lost his identity. He said, I'm someone's son, I'm someone's father, I'm someone's brother, I'm someone's nephew, I'm someone's employee, but where am I? So I worked with him for a few weeks, and he found himself again, and it was just absolutely brilliant. He actually found time to do things for himself. He found that he'd been offered promotion, but he didn't want it, because he liked the job he was doing, and he discovered all that just by coaching.
Well, I suppose that's something a lot of people can relate to, isn't it? Because we start out with lots of hopes and dreams, and then, as you say, you take on other roles, so maybe a parent or a partner, and you get sucked into that, don't you? And
you do.
Obviously they're full-time jobs, a lot of them. So, and your own work, and then, like you say, your own sense of self somehow gets lost along the way, doesn't it?
It does. You lose your own identity, yeah.
And
because we have so many roles, don't we, in
indeed.
Our lives.
And we're all, you know, this phrase, everybody's so busy. And to actually stop and think, well, who am I and what do I want from all this? Because everything is just rushing past, and everyone's to-do list is increasingly, you know, it's gargantuan, isn't it?
Well, it is, but then people seem to think that if they're looking after themselves, it's being selfish, but it isn't. It's absolutely essential.
Yes, it's a bit like that when you're on the plane and they say, put your mask on first in the event of an emergency, then put your child's on, which kind of goes against every parental instinct you have. But obviously, you've got to sort yourself in order to be able to help other people.
Absolutely.
And perform all the other roles that are required of you. So when someone comes to you, is it everyone's different? Do you have a set time scale that you work with them, or
everyone is totally different? So there is no particular time scale. It could be one session is more than enough. It could be they need 3, 4, or 5. It all depends on the individual.
And do they come to you, or
they can come to me? I can talk to them on the phone. I can talk to them via Skype. I have clients in Australia, in France, South Africa, and the USA.
And so you've had somebody who's, like you say, lost their way, their own identity. And do you have more goal-oriented ones where people want to achieve something but they don't know the roadmap and they're coming to you to help them along on that journey?
There are those, yeah, there's those as well. There was somebody else who came to me and they said, I go to see my father every Sunday for Sunday lunch. I live here on the island. I have to pack up all the kids and go across to the mainland. So it's a whole Sunday all for lunch. And I really don't want to do that anymore. My goal is to have more time for myself. So I said to them, have you actually had the conversation with your father? And they said, what conversation? So I said, well, have you actually asked your father if he wants you to go every Sunday? Because it may be that he doesn't. So they came back a couple of weeks later and they said, we've had the conversation and he doesn't want us to come every Sunday. He said, phew, thank goodness you asked this question. All I want to do most Sundays is sit in my underwear watching football.
Fair enough.
So could you come just once a month? So everyone's happy.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, those conversations aren't as easy to have, though, are they?
Well, people think they're not, but they are. Because you may think, like at Christmas time, you always go to Auntie Mabel's for Christmas. But does she actually want you to come?
Mm.
Has anybody actually asked her?
Yes. I think it's when you're dealing with people's emotions, though, they often get in the way, though, don't they?
They can do, yes.
And even
there's no reason why they should.
Mm. But sometimes even by asking the question, you've opened up this huge can of worms.
It could be, yeah. Yes. But it doesn't have to be that way.
No. How different to the way you work with people would you say is different, or is it very similar to how a psychotherapist would work with a client?
I have no idea what psychotherapists do, so I can't answer that question.
So from what I'm hearing, your approach is very practical.
It is practical. It is the person focused. It's what they want, not what I want. There's no judgment whatsoever. And whatever the goal is they want to achieve, we endeavour to get them there.
Yeah. So are you as good at achieving the goals in your life as you are at helping others to do that?
No.
I'm glad you said that, Maggie.
To be perfectly honest, no. I try to, but I try to listen to my own advice. But then people just don't, do they? Don't listen
never,
to their own advice.
Never, never. So who do you turn to when you need somebody like Maggie Curry in your life? Who does Maggie Curry turn to?
Well, Maggie Curry turns to reading books by Louise Hay. Have you heard of Louise
Hay?
No,
I haven't.
Well, she's a very famous coach. And, yes, mostly her.
Okay, so that's where you get your inspiration
yes.
from.
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you think? I mean, you must have had some wonderful, like you said, you know, it's great when you helped this guy find his identity again. What about some real sort of smiley, funny moments where you and the client have just had, you know, this kind of brilliant time?
Most of them are like that,
yeah.
Really. Yeah. Because none of it is so serious. None of it is, well, so far, none of it has been so serious or bad that anybody's gone away depressed or anything like that. But I remember one young lady came to me and she said, I work with this very large corporation and I'm the only person in my department who does my job. So when I go on holiday for 2 weeks, I come back and my desk is absolutely piled high with work.
Right.
So I said, okay. And what actually is the problem? She says, well, the problem is that I have a very bad relationship with my partner and with my daughter. I said, what do you mean a bad relationship? She said, well, the relationship is failing. So what we actually discovered when digging really deep down is that it all stemmed from work. And she was getting stressed because of the work. So I said to her, well, is there anybody else in a different department who's in the same position? And she said, yes, there is. So I said, well, could that person cover for you whilst you're on holiday and vice versa? So she said, yes. I shouldn't investigate that one. And then she said, by the way, I always wear black to work. And I said, why? She said, because I wore black on my first day, and that's what was expected. At least that's what I think is expected. So I said to her, so what is your favourite colour? She said, purple. So she went away, and a few weeks later she came back and she said, my relationship is improving. She said, the work is not piling up so much because we're doing this reciprocal work. And by the way, I bought a blue top the other day and I wore it to work, and everyone said how beautiful I looked.
Oh, lovely.
So it's really good.
Yeah, and these solutions, it's taking that step back, isn't it? And mm-hmm. having somebody completely outside come in, and it's seeing the wood for the trees, isn't it? That you never can, when you're in the eye of a storm, no matter how insignificant that storm may appear to somebody else, it's your own personal issue, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And if you can't overcome it, you're often too close to it, and it sounds like you've got the ability to see things very clearly and pinpoint what often could be a very simple solution, but nonetheless it's the simple things that often work the best, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. Because another young man came to me who's a therapist. He said, I've got so much work to do, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do something else. What should I do? So I said, have you thought of getting an assistant? He said, oh, I never thought of that. So he got himself someone to do all his bookings for him, and he's well away.
Brilliant.
But it's just a simple thing you just don't think of.
So do your family, obviously they know you do this for a living, do they come to you with their issues?
Oh, no. You should never coach your family.
No? Okay. So they don't come and have a heart-to-heart with you?
And
do it on the sly? Just kind of slip a little problem in and think, hopefully I'll get the solution for free here?
No, they don't do that.
No? No, okay. And you don't tell Kelvin, your husband, how to live his life?
Oh, no.
No unsolicited advice then?
No.
I don't think it would work if you did, would it, really?
No, I don't think so.
So, obviously, that's something you do in your own time, and well, I suppose is that a 24/7 job? You know, you can fit clients in as and when suits them?
As and when, yeah.
Yeah. And if there's anybody listening that thinks, I would really love to talk to Maggie Curry and get some solutions, what's the best place to get you?
Best place to get me? They can email me at hello@maggiecurry.co.uk, or they can phone me on 01983 754 666.
So it's that simple?
That simple.
Brilliant. Okay. Do you have a website?
I do. It's maggiecurry.co.uk.
Oh, lovely. Lovely and easy. Lovely and easy to remember. Okay. Well, we're going to be talking more to Maggie after the break. Maggie, you also work with the police, don't you? So we're going to be talking about that.
Yes.
You're a member of the Independent Advisory Group.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing work. And as I said earlier, we're going to be talking to Maggie about the domestic violence group that she's recently set up, the Mind the Gap. So after this break, please come back to us. And in the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Vectus Radio and on Facebook. Okay, speak to you soon. Bye-bye for now.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666. Or add us on Skype. It's Vectus.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Hello and welcome back to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and our very own Maggie Curry. Welcome back, Maggie.
Thank you.
And before the break, we were talking about your transformation coach and consultancy work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just to be clear, we were talking in the break there about you know, like if somebody comes to you, well, you tell people that there's certain things that you don't get involved with.
If they're clinically depressed, then I would advise that they go and see their GP, get a referral to a psychiatrist or for professional help of some sort.
Yeah, but anything...
I'm not qualified to deal with people like that.
No, but day-to-day, those niggles, those things that are holding you back, and like we were saying, if you've got perhaps an aim or ambition, but you just seem to be, something's holding you back, you're the person to come
I'm
and talk
the person,
to.
Yeah.
So that's Maggie Curry. Okay, and again, as we were saying earlier, a lady of many talents, because you've been called on to be part of the independent advisory group working with the police here on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that entail?
There's 4 meetings a year at the police station, and usually with the district commander as well when she's there. And we talk about all different subjects that I can't really discuss on the radio.
Okay.
But we get involved in critical incidents so that they would come to us and they'd say, we're investigating X, Y, Z, we've done this, we've done that, we've done something else. Is there anything else we could have done?
Okay.
So it just gives a different perspective to their view, if you like.
And do they just sort of randomly cherry pick a few cases, a few incidents to run by you? Is that the idea?
No. It could be something that is a current thing going ongoing. Mm-hmm. It could be a murder, it could be a missing person, it could be anything.
Okay, so I was completely, pardon my ignorance, but I was completely unaware that anything like that existed. Is this something that is across the country, presumably?
Across the country, yeah.
So every county...
They're all volunteers.
Yeah, so every county would have a similar group to what you're part of here.
Yeah.
And is it a voluntary thing?
All voluntary, yeah.
And can anybody apply?
I imagine so, yeah.
So how did you hear of it?
There was an advert in the county press about 5 years ago. And I applied and there I am.
There you are. Obviously you enjoy it.
I do, I love it.
And you feel you make a difference?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it puts me in mind a little bit of the student who picked up a few errors that NASA had made. Did you see that in the paper yesterday? And they said it wasn't embarrassing. The spokesman for NASA said it wasn't embarrassing, but it was helpful.
Yeah.
And the student had more time than they did to kind of go through it with a fine-tooth comb and pick out these mistakes. So I'm wondering, again, is it something that you're having this outsider coming in and having a clear overview? And sometimes, like any, when you're solving a problem, you're so close to it, you can't see the solution.
Sometimes, yeah.
And again, it almost seems... So they check back with the general public?
Yes.
To get the opinion on how they've... So is it always a current thing, or do they look back...
It could be a current thing. It could be one you're looking back on. It could be anything.
That's fantastic. So is it a bit like being on a jury where you all discuss it and maybe have different opinions?
You all have different opinions, but it's nothing like a jury.
No, I just wondered whether you're in that room and you talk about it and thrash
it
out.
We'll talk about it and say, well, I think perhaps you could do this, that or something else. And they're there to listen. We don't have to take any of our advice. Mm. It's entirely up to them.
And do you have to have some sort of working knowledge of the law?
No.
No, so it's just a complete outsider coming in with perhaps some just common sense options.
It's just a different point of view.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's really interesting that they do such a thing. Like I said, I was totally unaware, which there's more about me than the police service, clearly. Is it something they're looking for more volunteers? Are they always looking?
They're always looking for volunteers.
Yeah, so again, if anybody's listening that thinks I'd like to give that a go, who would they contact?
They would go to the police station and ask.
Just ask, simple as that.
Simple as
and
that.
And how much time would that take up in an average week for you?
An average week?
Hmm.
We only meet once a quarter, as I say.
Oh, but do they feed stuff in via email that you have to kind of consider?
Yes, sometimes, but it wouldn't be more than an hour a week.
Okay, so it's minimal commitment, really.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, brilliant, thank you. You also, I know, you write for the Huffington Post, don't you?
I do,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what kind of articles do you submit for that?
Oh, it's for their UK lifestyle section, so it's just basically what I would say about coaching and just... it could be other articles that I've written. I just make it so that they're more... generalised, if you like, so you could apply to anybody. It's about improving your life or whatever.
So have you got a regular gig on that?
No, it's just as and when I think to submit something.
Yeah, and is it always accepted or...?
Generally, as long as it's more than 500 words, yeah.
Yeah, and is that an online...
It's an online thing,
yeah. How long has that been going?
What, the Huffington Post? No idea.
Yeah,
years and years and years.
Yeah, it's got a very good reputation, hasn't it?
Apparently, yes.
Yes, yeah, it's excellent. So, again, if people listening think, oh, I'd love to have a crack at that, is it just write something, send it, take a punt and see what happens?
Take a punt, see what happens.
Yeah, and obviously sounds like you stick to your area of expertise.
Yes, it's best to do that. Write about what you know.
Always, definitely a lady after my own heart with that one, yeah, for sure. And do you get feedback? Do you get comments?
Sometimes,
online?
Yeah. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
And always positive, or do you get some...
There's always someone's going to argue with you. Mm. It's up to them, isn't it?
Yeah. And
everyone has a different point of view.
And when you get those kind of troll-like comments, if you like, how do you personally deal with them? Because I know that they're a thing.
Ignore them.
You ignore them.
Yeah.
And that would be your advice.
That's why I do. Just ignore them. If you start getting in an argument with them, it just gets worse and worse,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, you're feeding it, aren't you? Yeah. And do you reply? Do you get in conversation with the... I'm wondering if you have sort of regular readers that you engage with and have...
No.
No?
No.
Okay. So what I'm really have a really strong personal interest in and I'd like to talk more about is this Mind the Gap free course, which is for survivors of domestic abuse, mm-hmm. and people who want to escape and just need support. So... how and why did you set that up?
Well, in my first marriage, I was married for 10 years and I thought it was normal. I got married at 19 and I assumed that my marriage was normal until I woke up one morning literally and thought something isn't quite right here. So I went to see a solicitor and I said, I'm constantly being put down, I'm not allowed to have any money, I'm always told that I'm useless and a waste of space and all this type of stuff. Is this normal? And he said, no, this is not normal. He said, you have grounds for divorce. So I thought, excuse me, I thought that's what I need to do because I'm not happy, the kids aren't happy. So I applied for divorce.
And how did your then husband take that initiative? That you'd had the temerity to ask him for a divorce.
He wasn't at all happy.
No, I can't imagine.
So it took 2 years because he wasn't leaving. So we were living in the same house for 2 years.
What was that like?
Not very good. But eventually I was allowed enough money to buy a one-bedroom flat.
So was this all... it sounds, what you're telling me, that it was all mental abuse.
It was all psychological abuse, yeah.
Rather than physical.
Rather than physical, yeah.
But it, nonetheless, it erodes one's confidence.
It does.
And it's, as you're saying, you know, it's a very toxic atmosphere in which to try and bring up two children, I imagine.
Three children.
Three children, yeah.
It was very toxic, but then I moved to this flat... and I was on benefits for a year and I was still feeling useless. And then it all came to a head one day when I had the flu. The kids all had chicken pox and I was sitting on the floor in the living room with my last 50p for the meter. And I thought, something has to change. So I thought, my thoughts have got to change. I'm obviously not useless. I've already done a job before. I must be able to get a job. So the next week I went out and got a job cooking school dinners where the kids went to school. And from there I was offered a job as a doctor's receptionist. And then because my background was secretarial, I was offered a job as a medical secretary at the London Chest Hospital.
So you were able to find it eventually, but it took a little while to find your confidence.
Well, yes, there was no help.
No, and also back then it was slightly more it was stigmatized to get
very
divorced,
much so,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely,
and it was quite a rarity,
yeah.
And to be the child or children of divorced parents and be in a one parent family was also quite unusual,
it
wasn't
was,
it?
It was, yeah.
So, what impact did it have on your children?
All sorts of different impacts because. The boys were very much basically they don't want to know us at all. I haven't spoken to them for 20 years, but my daughter's okay. Well, she's okay now, she's just been through a refuge, so that's something else that gave me the impetus to write this program.
Oh wow, so your daughter has suffered the same,
yeah.
as you.
She's been through the refuge, and in the refuge they have the what they call the Freedom Programme, which is absolutely brilliant, but it only deals with how to deal with the perpetrator.
Right.
And there's nothing beyond that, hence the Mind the Gap. because this course is to move people forwards.
Yes.
It's all about them. It's not about the situation.
And I think, in my personal experience, I think there's a there's often feelings of shame.
Absolutely, and guilt.
Guilt and embarrassment.
Embarrassment.
And it's not something one would automatically discuss, perhaps with an employer, if you're having difficulties at home of this nature. I think to then go into work and be honest with an employer and say, well, you know, if I'm perhaps not performing up to speed or, you know, I'm lost in my own world, this is why. I think it's not something. It's in that sense, it's a bit like mental illness was, and I think that's coming out a bit now, but people do feel stigmatised, they do feel ashamed, and like you say, they do often feel guilty and in some way believe it's their fault, because that's what they've been told by the perpetrator.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is the classic line, look what you've made me do.
Narcissistic.
Yes. Yeah. So I think to get out from under somebody like that
takes a lot of strength.
Absolutely. And I don't think survivors of domestic violence perhaps give themselves the credit for that, because
you don't.
To escape from that and then build another life for you and your children, if you've got children who are involved in the situation, is a huge achievement, isn't it, under those circumstances?
It is. We've got some funding from the lottery and from Island Roads to do some pilot courses, which we've done.
Were they well attended?
They were very well attended. They were surprisingly popular. We thought we might get one or two, and we got a dozen. And I fondly thought they'd be all young women with babies. Anybody up to the age of 70.
Really? And is this... So, for example, somebody in that age group, the upper end of the age group, would they have... Are they there because there's still some residue of perhaps something that happened in their past that they can't move forward for?
Still
happening at that age.
We had one lady who'd been with her partner for 35 years. I can't possibly leave, she said. At the end of the course, she said, I've rented a flat, I'm going.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So you say the course, how long is the course? Has it got a finite time? Or
the pilot courses were 6 weeks, but the feedback we got was they needed to be longer.
Okay, and is that an hour a week for 6 weeks?
2 hours.
2 hours a week, okay.
So I've been writing more, it's now 12 weeks.
Okay, and when you say, is it a group work or
yes,
is it individual?
It's group work.
So in terms, people turn up and they get to know one another and perhaps...
They do, and support each other.
Support each other.
Build their own support network.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. It works so well.
And in any kind of areas of confidentiality that people are perhaps frightened to come forward, have you had
There's
that?
There's no judgment at all. It's totally confidential. Anything that happens within the course stays within the course,
yeah,
unless they want to take it outside themselves.
Yes. And obviously everybody's in the same boat or has been in the same boat.
They do, yeah.
So everybody is... Yeah, I mean, everybody wants the same outcome for themselves and everybody else, don't they?
Of course they do.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, we've had three ladies from one course have claimed they've been totally useless, but they've all got jobs now.
Oh, that's
so they're doing really, really well.
That must make your heart sing.
It does. It's just brilliant.
And of course, I imagine that your experience has enabled you to do this and have that credibility, but without... Sadly, without your experience, you couldn't have gone on to inspire and help these other women.
No, you need to know what it is they might like. But that's what the pilot courses were about. As I always said to them, this is what I think you need, but if it isn't, tell me.
Right. So in terms of moving that forward, so they're your pilot ones, and like you say, they're successful. So will you be taking those people forward, or is the work done by and large with them?
We could well be seeing them again, yes, if they want to be seen again.
Okay, so where's your permanent home for these courses now?
Well, we're starting a new course, a 12-week course in May at Aspire in Ryde.
Uh-huh, yes.
So that'll be good.
And it's free?
It's totally free because we've got the funding
yes.
for it.
Okay, so you've got a 12-week course starting in May, and again, how do people get, if they want to listen now and think, yeah, I've got to turn up for that, how do they get in touch?
They can get in touch via our website, which is breakthecycle.org.uk, and the email is hello@breakthecycle.org.uk, or they can give us a call on 01983 754 666.
Okay, and what would you say to anybody listening in who thinks, I actually, you know what, I don't go, because they have been so controlled, they feel terrified by the pie, but they are having, you know, physical problems, not just psychological abuse, and they're being monitored, watched, like you said, you were kept without money, so you were pretty limited. If you haven't got any money, there's not a lot you can do. So if there's somebody in similar situation that thinks, you know, I just can't get there, how could you reach out to them?
They can give me a call and have a chat.
Yeah, and take it from there.
Quite happy to have a chat with them. I've been there, I've done that. I've signed up for courses and not turned up because I've been too scared. And I know how it is.
Yeah. So thinking it's often, if you're with someone like that, who is very controlling, very jealous, you know, doesn't want to let you out of their sight, anything like this, and anything that isn't going to empower their victim, if you like, and I don't like to use that word, but that's what they create, that's what they want, that's how they see you, isn't it? They will be very anti, won't they?
They will be, but it's not up to them, up to you. You've got to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Take that first step.
Mm. But it is...
It is scary,
because I think people who haven't been in this situation, it's one of these classic ones, if you haven't been in the situation, it's impossible to imagine what it's like, isn't it?
It is totally impossible, and people say, well, why don't people leave?
That's the classic response.
A lot of times they don't realise the situation they're in. They just assume it's normal. And abuse can come in many, many ways. It can be psychological, physical, sexual. It can be all sorts of things. It could be children abusing parents. It could be people abusing elderly people. But if you feel you are being abused, do something about it.
Yeah.
I know it isn't easy. And it's no use saying to someone, why didn't you come forward before? Because that doesn't achieve anything.
No.
They've just got to bite the bullet and go for it.
And presumably if they could have come forward earlier, they would have come
forward.
They
would have done, yeah.
It's got to be that break point for them, isn't it?
At that right moment, yeah.
Where they feel safe and they feel able, or they feel so frightened and so desperate that there is no other way but moving forward. What about people that are listening that feel they might lose their home if they're the ones that kind of jump?
There's always a fear of losing this or losing that or being on your own or whatever. But at the end of the day, they've got to weigh up what is best for themselves. Do they really want to hang on to their house and be miserable? Or do they want to be somewhere else and happy?
Yeah. And I suppose it's taking things step by step, isn't it? So the first thing is ultimately your safety and that of your children, if children are involved.
The first thing is realising you have a
problem. Yeah. And then putting your safety as paramount.
Absolutely.
And then everything else will fall into place, isn't it?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yes, and take it in bite-sized chunks
Get
overwhelmed by the enormity, because it is an enormous decision.
It is.
Of what you're doing.
I mean, the course covers things like setting personal boundaries and being more assertive, how to negotiate, because a lot of the times they have to negotiate with their social services, because social services will say, you've got to do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And some of them, I understand, can be quite... I was going to say, like little Hitlers, but that really isn't fair. But that is how we've been told they are. So it's being able to negotiate without losing control.
Yes.
So you can get what you want and they can get what they want. And it's building confidence and self-esteem and moving the people forwards. And it's got nothing to do with their situation. It's all to do with them and how to move forwards.
And I suppose you've probably seen, I imagine, people from all types of walks of life and all mm-hmm. sorts of different situations.
Yep.
And I guess it's that classic that you can't look at someone and think, oh, well, they've got things, their life must be pretty sorted and they're the last person that this would happen to.
So one in four women and one in six men.
Really? So this course is open to men as well?
It'd be a separate course for men.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
Yes. What about children? If parents want to bring their children because they haven't got anybody else to leave them with, for example, or they think the child has been affected and could do with some help, does the course cover that?
Not really, no.
No. Okay. So, but you would, in the course, I suppose you enable the parents to gain in confidence and
yes.
the skills, like you're saying, the negotiation, being more assertive. They're going to help deal with any issues that mm. children have, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't deal with the children specifically.
No. And these days, what, particularly perhaps here on the island, how do the police view domestic violence now?
Recently there was a violence against women conference over at the riverside here. And they were saying that in the old days it used to be if you were to call the police they'd arrive and you'd obviously got a black eye, but there was nothing they could do unless you prosecuted.
Right.
But now they all wear this body-worn video, so as they go in they switch it on and they can see you've got a black eye, for instance. And they can see the perpetrator as it, yeah, I did that. So now they can prosecute without the partner saying so, because they have the evidence on their video.
Right.
And they have a checklist to go through of all sorts of questions to find out what exactly has gone on. And they have follow-ons afterwards, and they have this whole procedure to go through.
Okay.
So they take it very seriously.
So people should feel confident in approaching the police and not feel that they're going to be sort of brushed to one side, or that it's not going to be taken seriously, or that there's insufficient evidence. There is going to be somebody there that can listen. And,
you'd hope so, yes.
Yeah.
And obviously they've got limited resources. They can't be everywhere.
But it's this thing of...
But they do take it very seriously.
Yes, because that wasn't always the case, though, was it?
No, I don't think so.
No, and it was often, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, it was this sort of thing, well, sort of what goes on between a man and a woman is a domestic issue. It's domestic, and they wouldn't get involved, would they?
That was some years ago.
Yes,
I think they do.
Yes.
They do more so now.
But what if you've got somebody who's had, that survived that years ago, and they come to you and saying, do you know what, this is still dogging my life, I'm no longer in that situation, I've moved on, everything from the outside is rosy, but nonetheless, this is still with me, this issue.
They're welcome to come on the course.
Yeah,
totally welcome. Yes.
And what would somebody like that get out of it?
Everyone's different, but everyone moves forward and everyone gains in confidence and everyone learns something. And I learn something every day.
Yes, and that's... So I've got some of the testimonials here, which having a comfort zone, keeping my past at bay, being assertive and setting boundaries. And I've learned more about myself that I already knew but hadn't implemented. I realise everyone has a story and all have secrets which affect our lives in different ways, good or bad. And this is a lovely one. I've realised that I have choices in life. I'm valuable. I have separate realities for work and home. And I have a new support network, which is... I mean, a lot of these things, one would hope everybody realise that you have choices in life, that you're valuable. But isn't it sad when someone else comes into a life and has the power to erode that?
It is very sad. But it happens all too often.
Yeah.
But one of the ladies on our course, she'd been in violent relationships for many years. And on the last day of the course, she said, I called the police. I found the courage to call the police. And he was arrested and she's now got this panic button thing. She said, I wish I'd done this years ago.
Brilliant. And what about people that perhaps have a slight fear that calling the police will only make things worse? In the fact that, you know, this will inflame their partner.
It probably will inflame them, but will it get them off their back? It could well do.
Mm. It's a very...
You don't know what's going to happen, do you? You can't really predict.
No, no. So there's you, so the team, there's four of you?
Well, there's four in the team. There's two trainers, me and Kelvin.
Uh-huh. And then you've got Louise Hastings and Ian McLaughlin. So what role does Louise and Ian take?
They're just directors.
Oh, I see. So when you go to the meeting, they're not part of the team?
No.
In that sense? They're not hands-on? I see. So you and Kelvin always work together? It's always just the...
The two of us.
And,
and if women aren't happy with Kelvin being in the room, he's quite happy to sit outside.
I was just going to ask you that. Okay. And likewise, presumably it works the same way if men just want to just talk
absolutely.
To men. Would you... I was going to use the word welcome, but that's not the right word. Would you be open to somebody that came and said, actually, this was me. I've been violent. I have been abusive. And I need help. And I've accepted that now and I've come to you. Is this the place or not?
That's a separate... course altogether.
Okay.
Totally separate.
Is that something you would offer?
No, but there are courses available for people like that.
Yes, there are. I know there's quite a lot on the island for that, because I mean that's got to be so key to the solution as well, hasn't it?
Sort of taken. But then they've got to be willing to do that course.
Absolutely. And again, that's quite a rarity, I think.
That's not something we have any expertise in.
Because what I hear over and over again from that side is, you know, it's not my fault, it is your fault, and I've done nothing wrong. It's kind of what you've made me do.
Well, to them, that's normal, because that's maybe the way they've been brought up.
Yes.
Watching their parents and their parents' parents.
It's learned behaviour, isn't it? Or they've suffered some other horror.
You just don't know, do you?
But nonetheless, going back, we all have choices, and they have choices.
They have choices, but perhaps they don't realise.
No, and for me, the choice is that they can always walk away. You know, do not raise your hand, and if you feel that red blanket of anger is descending, walk away. Walk away and come back, have a little walk and calm down.
Mm.
Come back and reassess the situation. But it is never acceptable to hit someone else, is it? It just
well, I don't think so, but obviously that's the way they've been brought up, or that's what they believe, so...
Mm, but it's...
Doesn't make it right.
No, and I think the long-term damage that can cause... And what about, we were talking that it's not the place for the children, and again, parents are in this situation, so they come to you to get their own, and like we were saying, they can regain qualities that they know, like somebody was saying in the brochure, are innate in them, that they've had but have been eroded.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rebuild their confidence and make it known that they have got the choices, they have got the right to say no, they have got the right to walk away, and they can do all these things. If they're worried about their children, and as we were saying earlier, the negative impact on them, is there somewhere on the island that they can take the children for help and support?
I imagine there must be, yes. There's usually CAMHS, isn't it? The Children and Mental Health Services,
yes,
I believe.
And there's the Youth Trust, I think, if perhaps the children want to go, I think that's on Pyle Street, if they want to go and talk to someone on their own without their parents. That's a service, as far as I'm aware, but it's a walk-in service, they can make an appointment.
I believe so, yes.
Yes, and so there's... Because it, something like domestic abuse has these horrible tentacles, doesn't it? That it's not just that one moment in time, or it's or a regular event of an evening. It goes on. It can go on for years. Like
it can
we were saying.
Do, yeah. And there's this shame attached to it as well, for some reason. From the children's point of view as well, they're ashamed.
Yes, and I guess it's yet something else that can trigger bullying.
It can, yeah.
Which is another issue.
Or it can make them be bullied.
Yes.
There's all sorts of things that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Or rise up against, you know, so that they feel they're not the victim, and it has that adverse effect on them. So, what, without obviously naming any names, but what's from those pilot groups have you taken away, and what was your sort of biggest success story?
I think the biggest success story is a young lady who, when she came in the first day of the course, she just sat in a corner and she just sort of cried. And as the course went along, she sort of blossomed and she came out of herself. We said, "Why are you like that?" She said, "I was ashamed." I said, "Well, don't be ashamed. There's no judgment here."
Yes.
"None whatsoever." She said, "No, I've realised that." And on the last day, she gave us both a big hug and said, "Thank you so much."
Oh, that's lovely.
It was really nice.
Yeah. And then that's something that, you know, that builds your confidence in what you're doing is obviously working.
It does. And then she just let us know this week she's got herself a job, so it's brilliant.
That is fantastic. And, you know, I've found myself on the receiving end of this kind of situation. And as we were saying earlier, it's always your fault. It's always not what you made me do. And you begin to believe that, no matter how
you do.
Confident you appear to other people, no matter what job you do, how you conduct yourself in your everyday life, there's that niggle in the back of your head that says, yeah, that was down to me. I provoked that.
Absolutely.
I pushed your buttons, like you said.
Yeah.
And you carry this around, and then gradually this just becomes a weight that just dragged you down. And then I've found the strength, like we were saying, to move on and take action and move forward and get out from under. And still thinking, actually, that was down to me. And obviously we can't live together because I'm so dreadful. I've driven this person to treat me like this. Then I have found out through other people the dastardly things that they did long before they met me.
Mm.
And it makes you feel not better, because obviously you've suffered at their hands, but in some ways it just, you think, well, it doesn't make me feel that much better, but I know it wasn't all, well, it wasn't down to me.
Yes.
That this is their modus operandi. They think this is okay to treat people like this.
And they just go on from one person to the next.
Yes. So I think anybody listening, bear that in mind. If you're being told day in, day out that it's your fault, that you've pressed their buttons, that you've only yourself to blame, and the chant, "Look what you made me do," is familiar to your ears.
And nobody else will ever love you.
Yep. Don't believe it.
No.
Because if they're like that with you, believe you me, they've been like it with other people in
Absolutely.
The past. Would you agree, Mary?
Yeah. I do.
Absolutely. So take heart from that, and please, if you're in that situation, get in touch with Maggie Curry, and get on the Mind the Gap. It's a free course. It's at Aspire, and it starts in May.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to repeat the phone number quickly, 01983 754 666. And if you just go online and just find Mind the Gap domestic abuse, I'm sure you can quickly find it.
It will be there.
Yeah. So don't hesitate. Do that, and take that first step to just to finding yourself again and finding some happiness. And obviously you've heard Maggie, you know she's really lovely, really approachable, and will help hold your hand in taking those first steps to freedom. So
we'll do.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Maggie. I think it's been really important talking to you today.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for all the good work, and the very best of luck with the new course. Continue to help and inspire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a lovely weekend. Enjoy. I think we're due some sunshine soon, so get out there on our beautiful island and enjoy. Okay, speak to you very soon. Bye-bye now. I've been Joan Ellis. Thank you. Bye-bye. www.vectisradio.com